before we start this study, I am giving you warning. This particular session, I'm going to be politically, very, very political. And some of you are thinking, so what else is new, right? You may not agree with my political view. That's okay. But you should not disagree with God's view about what you should not disagree with God, period. Because whenever we disagree with God, we try to argue with God, guess who is right, guess who is wrong? We are wrong, because God is always, always right. The Lord our God established three institutions. First one is home, family, and second one is government. Third thing is church. There are people among Christians who teach rebellion and riot against the government in the name of Jesus Christ. That should not be. I'm sure that all of you heard the news about the abortion clinic, bombing the abortion clinic incident, or the killing abortion doctors a few years ago. In the name of God. That's what we call civil disobedience. Paul refutes that position in this study and explaining to us why the Christian must be subjection to the land, a law of the land. Yes, abortion is wrong, period. But it doesn't justify anyone to blow up somebody's property or killing an abortion doctor for that. And remember what we learned last Sunday. In chapter 12, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Because they are killing unborn babies and we kill them, what are we different than them? We are no different than them. We are the same kind of class people. However, it's extremely difficult to be obedient to the authority which is standing against the truth of God. And they do anything but the following God. I must admit that I have a problem with them. And also I have a problem with the fact that this government is ordained by God. See, especially when I see the people like the corrupted politicians such as the former Alaska Senator Ted Stevens and the Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, and many others. And I wonder how these crooked politicians are possibly chosen by God. We cannot always understand the plan of God. A lot of times it's way above our head. Sometimes people reject God's leadership, so God allows them to have leaders they want. A good example is King Saul. Israeli people reject God as their king. They want a king just like any other neighbor kingdoms. So they got the king, and they want Saul as a king because he was good-looking, head and shoulder taller than everybody else. So they got the good-looking king, but he was a lousy, sorry excuse king. People want to rebel against God, so he let them. Our role is to accept whatever leadership God puts over us and realizing that God, He has chosen, He has a purpose in mind. He is still in ultimate control. He never lost control. He will never lose control. Everything is within His control. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You seeking Your will, seeking Your ways. More than seeking Your hands. Yes, we don't always understand Your plans. And so that is why it's so hard for us to submit to the authority over us who is against you. But you do have a plan. You do have a purpose. Let us be obedient to you, obedient to the authority over us you put over us. And we may follow you and bring glory to you. And we pray for the present Bush. We're asking you to give him wisdom and courage and obedient heart to you. We also pray for the salvation of President-elect Obama, that he may truly come to know Jesus. And we lift up our troops around the world, and we're asking you to hedge your protection and safety. And we also pray for our law enforcement personnel and firefighters around this community especially. We're asking you to protect them as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 13 in the book of Romans, please. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Underline that, please. The authority that exists are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring a judgment on themselves. Folks, it is God who has established the government of the world. And this does not mean he is responsible for the sins of the dictators and the corrupted politicians. Government authority to rule over us, its people, originally comes from God. God allowed them to do that. To resist the law is to resist God who established the government in the world, and it means asking for trouble and punishment. There's no wiggle room. There's no way to get around. The way Apostle Paul said it, everyone is subject to the law of the land. Basically, this means that God expects all the people, as a general rule, to obey the law of the land. Simply finding that way. And he wants us to obey the traffic law, which I have a lot of times a problem with it. And not to trample other people's right and pay taxes. Folks, let's put this in our heart. Godly Christian should mean godly citizen. A godly Christian should mean a godly citizen. Verse 2 tells us that if we disobey government, we rebel against who? God. He make it very clear to us. On that note, some of you are thinking, okay, I have a problem with that. I'm going to talk about that thing a little later. So keep that in your heart. Verse 3, please. For the rulers are not terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. It's a government's job to be vigilantly and aggressively hunting down the evil and bring the wrath to those who violate. That's the reason why the government has law enforcement agencies. And they are the one who is enforcing the law, and when the criminals go against that, they arrest them. Rebellion against God-appointed authority has its consequences, including death penalty. And some of you are thinking, oh, you're going into the dangerous territory. Yeah, I am. I did not tell you from the beginning? Liberal people argued that death penalty is unbiblical and immoral. They said it's wrong to execute the people who killed others without conscience. Let's go over the argument, one at a time. You find the death penalty ordained by God in Genesis 9, 5 and 6. So let's go to Genesis 9, 5 and 6. You know what I forgot? I forgot everything. Okay, you got a break for change. You know, people get old, they forget everything. Genesis 9, 5 and 6. Surely for your lifeblood, I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever shed man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. There is a death penalty for the biblical background. The people who are against the death penalty usually are generally for abortion. And they rather save whale, pygmy owl, and gray wolves, but they don't mind killing unborn children in the womb. Of course, they will say, how can you condone death penalty while you against the abortion? I say it's very easy. Number one, every single death row inmate who gets executed are cold-blood murderers. They'll not become death row inmate because they just con somebody for a few bucks. They become a death row inmate because they kill somebody. But let me ask you this. What did an unborn child do in the womb, in mother's womb, to be killed? Folks, this is not a matter of choice. This is a matter of life and death. Now, I have to make an exception here. What about the woman who was raped? What about the woman who was a victim of incest? What about the woman who had to balance between the baby's life or her own life? Those are the exceptions. Since I mentioned about abortion, you might be one of them who had abortion. Did you ask God to forgive you? You did? God doesn't remember that. So move on. Okay? Don't dwell on it. Don't continue to be haunted by the memory of that baby. Move on. God has forgiven you. Good Christians who obey the law, refrain from evil, and have done nothing to be punished for. And I know a young Christian man who told me he hates cops. I had to ask him why. He said, I've been arrested a couple of times. He said, no wonder. Because he was against the law one too many times. And that's a good reason why he doesn't care to be around with the cops. So let me ask you this. Does it mean the justice system, judicial system, and law enforcement system, is that perfect? No. By all means, no. Because this human system, there's a fault, there is not perfect. Especially I get discussed with the American justice system nowadays. They let go of the heavy-duty criminals and they go after somebody with a little thing. Even though the system is not perfect, we have to be obedient and respectful. Verse 5, please. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for the conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for there are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Any citizen can obey the law because of fear of punishment. But a Christian ought to obey because of a conscience sake. The best way to keep a clean conscience is to be a good citizen. Many of you know that, as I mentioned before, I have a lead foot problem. I like to speed. Okay, being a chaplain for the sheriff department, if I get pulled over, I can get away, most likely. But the Holy Spirit with the cooperation with my wife has been telling me that I am wrong. Yeah, I am wrong. I knew what I was doing when I speed. When it says 35, why do I need to go 35 perfectly four-lane road so I speed? Am I right? No, I'm wrong. I was going against the law. It's not a matter of I get pulled over, but I am against the law, period. So what do I need to do? To be a good citizen? To not to bring the disgrace to God's name? I need to slow down. I'm getting better. I am getting better. So if you see me pulled over by a cop and there we go. I'm sure you guys will do this in taking a picture with your camera phone. Verse 7 commands us to pay what we owe, taxes, custom, fear, and honor. If we do not pay taxes, then we show the disrespect to the law as well as to the Lord. What government does with that tax is not our responsibility. Let me say this one more time. Some of you guys thinking that what about the government is they are going to fund the abortion clinic? That's why I'm not going to pay taxes. First of all, you're going to be in trouble with the IRS. Number two, it's not your problem. It's not your responsibility. Who hasn't heard that word, that the two inescapable things, death and taxes? The thing is that the death doesn't get worse each time the Congress met. You can mark my word, next year, Democrat control the Senate and Congress meet, our tax system will be far worse. Why? Because they've been promising all this financial bailout to all these people who manage their companies wrong. Now we have to bail them out. Guess who is going to pay that? You. Me. So now here, in light of the current political situation, we know that President-elect Obama is an ungodly person, no matter how you look at it. And some of you are thinking, how can you say that? He said he's a Christian. I'm going to go over a few things. Let me check his track records. As an Illinois Senate Senator and Senator of the United States, and the President-elect of the United States. And he's going to be president pretty soon. Number one, Obama has been, would you put up this items, please? Obama has been a staunch supporter for the biggest abortion provider in the world, Planned Parenthood. And during all his political career, as a matter of fact, Planned Parenthood has been supporting him from day one. Number two, Barack Obama thinks that partial birth abortion is a legitimate medical procedure. Some of you don't know what it is, partial birth abortion. It's a latter part, like 9 months, the baby will be inside the mother's womb. At the beginning, they said, we'll abort the children, a baby, they don't call it fetus, but they don't know that fetus means baby in Latin. So, Now they said that they are willing to kill the child, baby, at the late term. He's against that. He thinks that it's fine. Thirdly, he opposed parental notification of minor girls before they abort. So there's a 14 years ago who is pregnant and went to the abortion clinic, and he doesn't think it's necessary for the 14 years girl's parents shouldn't be notified. Do you know this? If the 14 years ago, that same girl go to the school nurse and she asks for Tylenol because she has a headache, do you know what they do? They call mom and dad. They would contact mom and dad for the Tylenol, but they would not contact mom and dad for abortion. Don't you think that's a twisted idea? Next one, please. Barack Obama stated, the first thing I do as a president would be to sign the Freedom of Choice Act, which would overturn every local, state, and federal abortion law passed in past 35 years. He's determined. The one thing I did not mention here, that I forgot the exact name, there's a bill that went to the Senate and Congress, and he was against it. Some of this woman have abortion procedure, and baby still came to birth, but they are kind of injured because of procedure. And it's trying to save that baby, and he said that should not be done. This baby is out of mother's womb and in the world. And he said, kill the baby. Under the name of what? Woman's choice. What about that baby's choice? What about that baby's life? And he quickly, swiftly moved on to the things about the homosexuality. Because many organizations have been supporting, and actually 10 organizations have been supporting Obama about for his presidential election. Politico.com reported 10 national homosexual organizations are working with Obama transition team to get the more openly homosexual people appointed to the incoming administration. Well, we already have one. Homeland Security Secretary. I know she doesn't say she is a lesbian, but hello, it's a fact, isn't it? Number six, during the presidential campaign, Obama already promised that he would abolish don't ask, don't tell policy in the U.S. military so that he would open the door wide open for the homosexual in the armed forces. This is the kind of person America voted in. Obama's the fruit of salvation show that he is anything but true believers of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt. So should I treat him as my enemy? No. He's going to be my president. I will respect his office. I will respect him as the president. And I will even pray for him and his salvation. And you should do the same. That's a mandate as a believer. But what he's standing for and what he believes, I'm absolutely against, and I do not agree with him. I don't know what extreme this liberal controlled federal government, next federal government, is going to do under the leadership of the extremely liberal president and vice president, with the help of, again, extremely liberal Senate and Congress. About half of the Supreme Court judges will be replaced, and many of the federal judges will be replaced by these people. And I'm sure you can bet your life on that thing, and those people will be the one who is going to help their agenda. Some of you may wonder why I'm so dead set against the liberals. It is because just about everything in the liberals' agenda are against the teachings of Jesus Christ, from the marriage, morality, homosexuals, abortion, you name it. And some of you are thinking, can we talk about this kind of thing in the church? Why not? Why not? If you're thinking church and state separation, number one, as I said before, that is not in the Constitution. It's in the letter, a private letter of Thomas Jefferson. And when you read it in context, it's not even had the same meaning. Now, folks, listen carefully. The way I look at the current political situation, President-elect Obama is the perfect person for the next president of the United States. And you're thinking, you out of your mind, you're getting old, so you're losing it, you're having a senile. No, I'm not having a senile. He's the perfect person because, folks, this American people reject God over finance, having a better economy. So the Lord simply took his hands off from caring hands and protective hands away from America. And since they want the money, guess what? The money collapsed under them. Now we are facing the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression. America wants to have a better economy over God, and fantasy over truth, empty promise over reality, and unknown change over, I made a mistake in your sermon outline note, escape from upcoming the judgment and wrath of God. America deserved Barack Obama as the president. And don't even think about that the Barack Obama's campaign workers may pull this off. They didn't pull it off. God allowed it to happen. You could have Ronald Reagan bring him back from the grave. Still, he would lose against Barack Obama because it was the time. Folks, it's the end time. We are literally at the edge of the end time. So let's talk about civil disobedience. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. By the way, if you want to learn about the civil disobedience, go to book of Acts chapter 4 and 5. You will find the 5:29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Obey God rather than man. Let's clarify one more time. This study is not about the biblical view of a civil disobedience. Rather, obeying the government authority over us. However, there are times where we rightly defy the government-approved authorities who try to impose their authority on godly policy, contradicting God's command. In other words, God allowed us to be godly rebel in few occasions. That's why I titled it the Godly Citizen, Godly Rebel. When the civic law and God's law are in opposition, like the book of Acts in chapter 4 and 5, believers should protest and disobey. Let me say this one more time. Protest and disobey. I didn't say revolt. I didn't say make a coup. Does it mean that we have to end up in a prison if that's what it requires? Let me say this to you. Let's say there is a federal government that decide that they're going to, from now on, all the Bible-believing church will be demolished. No more Christian churches. What should I do? I would disapprove. I would protest. If they throw me in the jail, so as you know, I have a few weapons. Would I fight against those who tried to come arrest me? No. First of all, they are my friends. I cannot really shoot at them. Number two, that's not the way. If I shoot at them, they'll shoot me back. And then it's a matter of become survival. But what if I hand over my weapons to them? Okay, lead away. And on the way, if I talk to them about Jesus Christ, I might be able to save another person. You don't find anywhere in the Bible, Book of Acts or Jesus Christ, revolting against authority. You don't find anywhere. Some of you may disagree. That's not the way I do it. But that's the way God does. Again, we disobey, protest, far as it goes. The civil law and government, God's law, when it collides, we have to obey God's law. Make sure when you disobey civil law, make sure that it's not violating your right, but violating God's right. Okay? The one we are concerned about is God. It's not us. We'll make a two application quickly. First, obey God always. Obey God always. Second application, obey government usually. Am I making sense? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. It's not easy command for us to follow because it's just not something we'd like to do. When they are against you, we'd like to do something against them. But you are teaching us to take a higher road. You're teaching us not to disobey, but obey. Let us keep that principle and truth in our heart. Let us be a good citizen of this country. Let us be a godly rebel when the occasion occurs. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.